Good morning, church.
Good morning.
Indeed, it is amazing grace, right, that brings us all to salvation in Jesus Christ. And as long as we have a chance to play, right, nothing but the blood. And there's power in the blood.
Amen.
You know, we're going to start our series as we go to the book of Romans. And Romans says this, it says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. And we need to remember that this morning. We're going to start with a quick word of prayer. We're going to dive into God's word. Let's just pray together, shall we? Father God, thank you for your word. Thank you, dear God, for the living word, Jesus Christ, that shed his blood and rose again, Lord, to give us eternal life. Father, thank you, Lord, for the power in the blood, Lord, that can change every problem, that can break the chains of sin in every situation, and that can give us eternal life and give us new life and new goals and new direction here on this earth. Lord God, we ask that you would speak to our hearts, Lord, as we look at your word this morning, as we seek to just understand, Lord, this thing that we call baptism and the Lord's table. I pray, Lord, that you would just speak to our hearts, Father God, as only you can. Quiet them, and I pray, dear God, even as we celebrate your table in just a few moments, I pray, dear God, that we would just step back and remember the love that you have for us. To shed your son, Lord, to shed his blood for us. Lord, we give you thanks and praise, and we ask, Lord, that you would just take away every distraction and work in our hearts now. In Jesus' name we pray with thanksgiving. Amen. So I want to share with you guys briefly this morning. We've been doing a little mini-series called First Things First, and we want to talk about what we're doing today. We're doing some different things, and you might say, what is baptism, and what is this thing called communion, the Lord's table? You know, is that just some churchy thing that we do? And I'll say this, it is a churchy thing we do, but it is full of symbolism, and it's a command that God gives us to celebrate these things. And we want to talk about what is that all about this morning. What did Jesus witness? Why did these people really humble themselves to go into the waters of baptism? Why did they do that? And we're going to talk about that briefly this morning. So we're going to go right in. You guys may have asked this question. Just what are baptism and communion all about? And we're going to open up God's word, and we're going to try to figure that out this morning. So take us right there, Christopher. The eternal truth that I want to get you guys to think about, and if you're joining us as a guest, we kind of put this out there. Maybe someone's going to walk up to you today in the parking lot and say, what was church all about? And this is what it was all about. Baptism identifies us with Jesus. That's what it's all about. That's what baptism is. We're saying we are followers of Jesus. We believe that he died on the cross, that he rose again from the dead the third day, and that he ascended to heaven. We believe that in our hearts. God's given us our Holy Spirit, and now we are identifying ourselves as followers of Christ. That's what baptism is all about. The second thing we'll talk about is this, and Chris reads my mind, and he's really good. He's actually better at it than I am. So we'll go back. Thanks, Chris. But it says this right here. The next thing is, communion is when we all get together, we're going to partake of the bread and the cup. You know, some call it the bread and the wine. We're going to partake of that. By the way, it's grape juice. But as we do that, the idea of that is communion remembers the love of God. And we practice it every single month. Usually the first Sunday, and that's just some, you know, thing that gets in the way of that snow or something. We first Sunday of the month, we say, you know what? We are going to remember who we are and remember God's love. So that's what we're going to talk about briefly this morning. So let's just kind of jump right on into baptism as we stop and think about it. If you have your Bibles, turn to Acts chapter 2. That's where we're going to kind of find our scripture. And one thing we try to teach is, you know, we're trying to follow what God said, not what we said or some other man said. We're trying to follow what God said when it comes to all the issues of life. So the first thing we're going to talk about is this idea of baptism. Everybody say this with me. Baptism is what? Identifying with Jesus. So we're saying, I am one of his when we get baptized. Well, I'm one of his. And I want to just share with you, the context of this passage is found in the book of Acts chapter 2. We'll look there in just a second. But it began with this idea. We called it spirit-filled preaching.
We'll come back and talk about that in a minute. The second thing is, when before someone gets baptized, is there is a Spirit-led response. And we'll look at that too. And lastly, baptism. What's the word for baptism? Identification. There is a spiritual identification that goes on. So I want to take us right to the scriptures that kind of lay this out for us. And Christopher, take us right over there. Acts chapter 2. And we're going to just look at verses 29 to 41. But I want you guys to get this in our minds as we think about it. The points, right, to get a hold of is there's some Spirit-filled communication that precedes responding to Jesus Christ as your Savior. And in this context, it was one of the first messages of the Apostle Peter. He is preaching, and it's an amazing Spirit-filled preaching. And I want to share with you guys, I won't talk about the whole thing, but if I read Acts chapter 2, it quotes a lot of Old Testament prophecy, particularly one from Joel. And here's what Joel said, as God spoke through him way before this happened. He said, God said this, he said, I am going to pour out my Spirit onto this earth, and this Spirit is going to bring people to a saving knowledge of God. And that's his powerful preaching that Peter gave. He talked about who Jesus was. He talked about how he had risen from the dead, how he had died to pay the penalty for all of our sins. He talked about the fact that the leaders of that day, the Jews and the Romans, they crucified Jesus because he was a threat to their power. But they didn't understand that they accomplished the will of God because Jesus' sacrificial death paid the penalty for all of the sins of all of mankind, and womankind too, in the whole world for all of history. Now we think about that. Jesus' death, because he was perfect, he was a perfect sacrifice, he paid the penalty for every single person in the human race for all of time. That's what Jesus did. And Peter began to preach about that. And God poured his Spirit out on the day, it's called Pentecost. God poured his Spirit out, and he touched the hearts of people in ways that their hearts were never touched before. And by the way, all those six people that you met this morning, God has touched their heart in a way that he never had before. Amen. It says this, by the way, in the book of John, it says that no one comes to the Father. No one comes to God unless the Spirit of God draws him. You know, and on Thursday, right, you kind of relate to this. How many people do you like to do your way or someone else's way? Raise your hand if you do your way. Right? It should almost be an end, right? You know, I think if your hand's not up, you're afraid, but you know how it really is out there, right? But we like to do things our way. Cindy's taping my mic to my face. How about that? It's popping. I got a new mic, so I'm not snap, crackle, pop, but it's falling off. So let me tape that on. I think I missed. There we go. I got it. Got it. Hope that won't get away in the chicken later on. But there we go. So what the Lord did, and the Spirit of God is poured out, and he called these people to follow him. And I noticed the very last part of his message, and I tried to underline it and highlight it. Notice what it says there. It says in verse 36, it says, Peter said this. He said, therefore, as a result of all those things I just told you about, pouring out his Spirit, the Old Testament prophecies, identifying who Jesus is and what he did, he said, therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly, or like Anne-Marie's verse, assuredly was verily, verily, truly, truly, right? He said, assuredly, that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. So he's the Lord of the universe. He's Lord of lords. He's King of kings. He's the Lord of everything. And he's also the Christ. He's the Messiah. He's the promised one. He's the coming one. He's the one who saves us from all of our rebellion against God and all of the consequences of our rebellion against God. And the Bible says this, it says, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God that these people embrace today, and we have too, is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So that's kind of, and by the way, that's a powerful message, isn't it? Everybody look up for a second. Here's the deal. No matter who you are, no matter what you've been up to, even today, Jesus died to pay the penalty for your sin and my sin.
Amen.
And he doesn't care where you came from, what you've done, who you are, how ugly you are, how tough you are, how bad you are, how much of a criminal you are. He doesn't care about any of those things. He said, I died for you.
Amen.
Right? That's the Lord. And Peter preached that message, and I want to just skip on down. As a result of him preaching that message, it says, and when they heard this, they were cut to the heart. And they said to Peter and the rest of his apostles, they said, men and brothers, what shall we do? And it's kind of like, think about this. When all your life you've heard that you're a mess and you're hopeless and there's nothing anybody can do to help you, and you hear a message that there's somebody that can help you. You ask the question, what do you need to do? You know, I heard I was terrible my whole life, that I was hopeless, and that, you know, I was going to go to hell, and there was no way I could be saved. And when you hear that there's an answer to that problem, you ask the question, what should I do? Right? And that's what happened. By the way, that's what these folks did. And notice Peter gives the answer, and he said this to the question, he said this. Peter said to them, and look on the screen, it says, repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Let's define terms real quick. Here's the idea of repent. When I find out that everyone told me I was hopeless, and I find out there's hope, I'm not going the direction I'm going anymore. The idea of repentance is I'm going to turn around. And it's a 180-degree turn from where I was to where I want to go. So if I've been going this way and doing my way and doing what I want to do, I make that 180-degree turn because I know who Jesus is now. And I say, I'm going to follow him. I'm going to accept him. I'm going to receive him.
Amen.
And I'm going to embrace this eternal life.
Amen.
That's what repentance is all about. Right? And then look what he says. He says, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Folks, I want to explain something to you.
Our custodian, he cleaned that baptistry. He did all the things he needed to do this week.
And when me and Pastor Gansu got in there, you know what we had to do? We had to get the skimmer out and get a few more things out of there. That water did not clean anybody today at all. And by the way, in Pastor Ansu's tradition, back in the river, that water didn't clean you either. Right? But what we're talking about when we baptize someone, someone is declaring in an outward way that we can all see what has happened on the inside. That the Spirit of God has come into our life and our heart, and he has made our heart clean that was so filthy and so dirty and so hopeless, he made it clean once and for all. And when we go into the waters of baptism, we are picturing outwardly what Jesus did on the inside.
Amen.
And I'll throw this out, because on the inside is what really matters, right?
Yes.
We can do everything on the outside. We can dress up, you know, to look like we're really good and really nice, but on the inside, we can't dress it up. God has to clean it out. And that's what he does there. And Peter said this to all these people. He said, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission or the forgiveness of your sin. See, the Bible says this. It says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Your sin, your rebellion, and the consequences of that stand in the way of your relationship with a God who is perfect and holy. But because Jesus died, God looks at you and he said, you know what? Jesus' blood has paid the penalty for everything that you all did. By the way, everybody look up for a second. Look around the room. The room's pretty packed today, right? There's a whole lot of sin that Jesus paid for just in this room. Let's kind of extrapolate that out to the whole world. Jesus' blood paid the penalty for all of that. And that's why we can have eternal life. Right? That's why we're like praising God. That's why when you come in, by the way, that's why we're singing Days of Elijah. There's been a change here, right? You know, that's why we can praise God for his amazing grace, because no one else gave me grace like that. They said I was hopeless. Right? That amazing grace is what we sing about, you know. in all kinds of ways. What an amazing grace it is. And by the way, notice what he said. Look at verse 39. I didn't underline this because I probably underlined the whole thing. You probably say, what's important? Look at verse 39. It says, "For the promise is to you and your children and to all who are afar off, and as many as the Lord our God will call." Everybody look up. Isn't that kind of awesome? Yeah, I don't know. You got to think about your life, right? We have some good things. We can go, wow, we did this. That was great. And then there's some stuff we have, like, regret so much about some things we did do. But God said, you know what? That this offer is open to every single person. Whosoever will call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's amazing. And then look at verse 41. We'll skip right on down. It says, "And those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them." So, and by everybody look up. Here's the deal, right? People said, wow, that's an offer that's too good to refuse. You know, in this world, if an offer's too good to refuse, you better refuse it. Because somebody's going to try to rip you off. Someone literally just stole my credit card. I had an offer. You got anybody have a Stanley cup? You know those metal cups? Anybody got one of those? Like, they're really cool, right? Anybody got one of those? You got, John, you got one? Did you have to buy it, right? I got an email from, it said Dick's Sporting Goods, and it said, "We have this Stanley Cup for you because you're such a good Dick's customer for free." I was like, really? So, you know, I put my credit card in for the mailing. And someone went out and bought all kinds of furniture and everything else on my credit card, right? And I'm still getting an email that the cup is on the way, but I haven't seen it yet. Yeah, I'm even a better customer, right? So I say that to say this, that's how the world gives us offers. But this offer is from the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And the moment I put my faith in Jesus, it's mine. It's mine, right? It's mine. And he said, "And those who gladly received his word," and by the way, how could you other than gladly receive God's word? When you understand that you're hopeless and now you got hope, where do I sign up, right? What do I got to do? And it says, "And they were baptized." So that's what we were kind of demonstrating today, is that these folks have said, you know what? We're moving from hopeless to very hopeful. Right? And Jesus is the reason, and we're going to follow him. That's what baptism is all about. Christopher, take us to the next thing. So what we're going to do in just a couple minutes is we are going to celebrate the Lord's table, it's called. It's called communion. And we're going to take out, you guys know the pandemic changed everything, right? It used to look like that at our church. We would actually break the matzah crackers one by one in little broken pieces, so it looked like bread being broken. But now we are sanitary. So when you came in, you probably got one of these things in there, right? This little chalice has a little grape juice and a piece of matzah in there, right? And the idea is we celebrate, remember I said it, once a month, this thing called the Lord's table, and we celebrate it to remember the love of God that saved us. And I want to take you right to the two things I want you guys to think about. One is, it has the idea of devotion to God and each other. And by the way, the remembering is a very tangible, touchable remembrance of what Jesus did. We remember his love. And I'll explain that in just a quick second to you guys, and then we'll partake together. But the idea here is, we're going to go to Acts chapter 2, verse 42. Christopher, if you would, please. And the point, again, remember, right, devotion to God and each other and remembering God's tangible love. And notice what it says. So, by the way, everybody look up. What happened first? These people, right, the Spirit of God touched their heart. They felt the call of God. They realized that Jesus had died for their sins. They realized that they were hopeless and now they're hopeful. They accepted Christ. They got baptized. They're trying to follow the Lord. And every month, or often, as Scripture says, we remember what Jesus did. We remember God's love for us. John 3:16 says this, right? "For God so loved the world that he sent his only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish or die, but have everlasting life," right? That's the message. And that's kind of what's here. Look what it says about these people. It says, And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. And I want you to get this in your mind. When we celebrate the Lord's table together, this is what we're picturing. We are devoted to God. We're serious about following God. Some people think we're kind of weird, and maybe we are, but we are serious about following God. Some of us are weirder than others, right? But we are following God. We're going to follow God. We're devoted to God, and then we are devoted to each other. We share the things of life. We share the issues, the problems, the struggles, the joys, the sadness. We share it all together as God's people. We lift each other up. We walk alongside each other. We're devoted to God. We're following him, but we're doing it as a group. We're doing it as his followers together. And that's what happened. And notice what it says there. It says, and in the breaking of bread and in prayers. And the idea is this. When Jesus died, he had something with his disciples. It was called the Last Supper. You remember that? And at the Last Supper, Jesus did exactly what we're going to do. And he said to everyone, he said, we're going to break this bread. This bread is what? Is a picture of the body of Jesus Christ that's broken for us. Remember, Jesus was not only crucified, he was beaten, you know, all those things before that. And then he gave his body for us and died. And then his blood, and the Bible says this, his blood is like the new covenant or the new contract that we have with God. Because our salvation isn't based on us doing good works, but our salvation is based on the finished work that Jesus did when he died on the cross and then rose again. And that's kind of what we're going to celebrate this morning is exactly that. And I'll take us to one more thing and we're done. And then afterwards, remember I said we're devoted to God and each other? We're going to celebrate our new family today. We have our annual meeting. And by the way, for our annual meeting, you know what the theme could be? This is why we do what we do. This is why, because people come to Jesus and their life is eternally changed. Right, that's the goal. And we're going to have a time of encouraging fellowship in our gym, right to about like 1:25, and then we're going to come back for our annual meeting and do all that annual meeting stuff we got to do and hear what God's doing and what our plans are for next year as we seek to follow God. But we're going to feast together. So we're going to ask our deacons to come right now. Pastor Ansu's going to lead us in this time. If you did not get a chalice and you are a believer in Jesus Christ and you would like to partake of the elements, key thing if you're a believer, please raise your hand and the guys are going to give you one. And Pastor Ansu's going to lead us in this time.